This is the Economic Development and Freight Advisory Committee, June 16th, 2022. Let's start with some introductions just to see who all is here. If we could, please. But I'll just kind of go through the roll call. FHWA, is Anne-Marie here? Anyone from FHWA? No. Okay. How about GDOT? I know. Vivian, you're here.
Yes. Good morning. This is Vivian. I might have to leave earlier because of another schedule conflict, but Ned is going to stay here with you guys.
Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. This is Ned Green, GDOT, Austin Freight Branch.
Great. Thank you. Is there anybody else here from GDOT? All right. Well, my name is Pamela Bernard. I'm representing Chatham County this morning. Anyone from Hunter Army Airfield? Okay. Bryan County Planning? How about Gulfstream? Savannah Area Chamber of Commerce? That's you. Okay. If you want to talk into the mic, just hit the one word. Yeah. Okay. All right. Let's see. Yeah. Jared Downs, Savannah Area Chamber of Commerce. Is it. Savannah Airport Commission.
Jim Mayella from the airport.
Okay. Welcome. Thank you. Effingham Industrial Development Authority.
Good morning. Yeah, this is Brant Herndon.
Good morning. City of Savannah.
This is Barry Stanton sitting in for Michelle Strickland.
Okay. Welcome. Thank you. CETA.
Hi, this is Jesse Dillon for CETA.
Jesse. Hi, Jesse. Good morning.
Good morning.
And SEMA.
Dennis Jones with SEMA.
Good morning. Is there anyone else that I've left out? Oh, okay.
Melanie Wilson, MPC, MPO Executive Director.
Thanks for joining us. And Wycota, do you want to tell us who else is here from staff and consultants?
Wycota One Core MPO staff, and we also have consultants over here. Chris from Cambridge and Denise from Symbiosity. And another staff member, Asia Hurton from MPO.
Okay, great. Thank you. So we'll go ahead and get started. The first item is, I guess, approval of the agenda. Does anyone have any comments or recommendations? Does anybody want to add anything to the agenda this morning? Okay. If not, then can I get a motion to approve the agenda this morning?
Motion to approve.
Thank you. In a second. I'll second that. Okay. All in favor, please say aye. Either if you're online, if you want to either speak it or put it in the chat box, either way is fine. We just need some way to know that you're
aye.
Voting yes. Aye.
Aye.
All right. Approval of the agenda passes. Moving on to the action item. There's only one action item this morning, and that is the approval of the meeting minutes from the last meeting, which was August 19th, 2021. I didn't realize it was that long ago. It's been a while. So hopefully everybody's had a chance to review the meeting minutes and send any comments into Wycota or Asia. But does anybody have any comments at this time? Okay, if not, then at this time, I'll request a motion to approve the meeting minutes from the August 19th, 2021 EDVAC committee.
Motion to approve.
Second. Thank
you. And who was the second, please?
Jesse.
Jesse. Thank you, Jesse. All right. All in favor, please say aye.
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 Are there any no's? Motion passes. All right. That's it for the action items. Thank you. Moving on to other business. That would be the MTP update. Who's that going to be presenting that?
I would just do this presentation very shortly. And then we will just, the main focus of today's meeting is the fleet plan update. The 2050 MTP is the MPO's long range transportation plan. It will be multimodal. It covers all kinds of roadways, transit, bike path, freight congestion. So we are developing goals and objectives, and we're going to develop a survey to help us refine the goals and objectives and also help us to prioritize projects when we have those. So we just got the draft survey developed. And I just want to have some input from this committee, particularly on the roadway priorities and the freight priorities, to see whether those would be the appropriate questions to ask. So for the roadway priorities, we just don't want the people to like rank up to three choices, like new constructions or road expansion, operational improvements or interchange or bridge reconstruction or road maintenance or complete streets and electric vehicles. So are we missing anything for the road priorities? Just take a look. And if you just let me know, and then I will just start typing. Okay. And for the, I mean, for this committee, we're just going to just ask for the road priorities and the freight priorities, because you don't need the bicycle, focus on the bicycle pedestrians. For the freight priorities, we want people to rank up to three top choices. So that includes roadway improvements, grade separation, bridge replacement, better truck routing and signage, and operational improvements. And actually, Chris just told me it's a grant application because that will involve a lot of multi-jurisdictional coordination. And then there will be a lot of discretionary grants that will be available for freight projects. So we do want to add like grant application over there. But so these would be the questions that we would ask for the general public in our survey. So do you see anything that is missing or we still?
You just want us to review the items that you have?
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
Gotcha.
Is anything missing for the roadway? I mean, related to freight?
Looks like it's good to me. But I can't think of anything right now.
I just want to say that one of the things that we wanted to do this time with the survey is make sure that we put kind of definitions about what stuff meant. Because a lot of people, when you say new construction or road expansion, they don't really necessarily know what you're talking about. So you'll find that on the survey questions this time around, you've got some examples or definition about what it is that we're asking to get from the people completing the survey. And hopefully that'll help people out and encourage them to complete it.
Hey, good morning. Are you trying to show this on the screen? For the folks that we are virtual.
It's not on the screen?
No, it's just the agenda.
We're having a technical difficulty. We fixing
it. Oh, yeah. Completely understand. No, and also I had to leave for a schedule conflict. But however, we are very interested on those questions. Great. And I will say that we have going hand in hand with Savannah and Melanie and Waikora and Chris, and they have been doing a great job. And including, you know, it's been an ample participation within GDOT, even Federal Highway and the locals. So, you know, we can send you comments, you know, after the meeting, because I will probably would like to show to all my other management too. But yeah, okay. Great job so far. Thank you.
Vivian, can you see the questions?
Yeah, now I can see.
Okay, yeah, sorry.
No, you're fine.
we are able to see the screen from here because we have two screens over here and we were able to see them. So we just assumed everybody can see the screen. Sorry about that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but we will definitely send you the questions and after the meeting. So if you just, because these are still draft, since Vivian is on the line, I probably will have to ask Vivian for some assistance. After we finalize the survey questions, we probably ask you for help, help us to translate this into Spanish. Because we have to yes, we have to translate the survey questions into Spanish, Chinese, and Vietnamese in our area, because those three minority, linguistically minority people already met the LEP thresholds.
Okay, yeah, I'll be glad to. And this is, you know, after my working hours. But
we'll make sure we send you the whole survey, Vivian, and we appreciate it in advance for you trying to help us out.
Okay, yeah.
I will say that, you know, you have, so you want us to choose three roadway priorities in general?
No. We would like the ADVAC and all the TCCCC, all those committee members just to look at these questions to see whether these would be the correct criteria that we're asking. We want to be inclusive.
So this is going out to the general public, right?
Yes.
Yeah, I would say, for example, the first in the roadway priorities between the new construction and road expansion, I would call that, I don't know, maybe Pam can help me out here. It's like, it is like basically, you know, major roadway projects, right? So they can be probably those two can be one.
Okay, so you think these can be one.
Right, but I don't, you know, we call these major roadway projects or capacity projects. Because they basically both of those choices at capacity, right? Mm-hmm. By either widening or new construction.
Vivian, Melanie. One of the things that I want you to look at when you're looking at these questions, and that's everybody looking at the questions, is please make sure you look at the definitions. Mm-hmm. Because a lot of the times when we're talking with folks in the public, people interchange stuff like this is going to be a road expansion or this is new construction. So by having the areas defined, mm-hmm. at least it's very clear about what we're talking about. When we're talking about road widening, we're talking about adding lanes and things of that nature to existing roads. Mm-hmm. So it's trying to make sure that it's straightforward so that the average layperson really mm-hmm. clearly understand what it is that you're asking. When they start saying new construction, you instantly think about a whole new road or a whole mm-hmm. new system. Mm-hmm. And that's why we separated that out. Now we could have them ask like up to four. I mean, the up to three is just kind of like, well, we at least want to get the top three, mm-hmm. but before we remove it, we can put a question mark beside it. But I think it really warrants a little bit more discussion with the other members so that we can make, especially the citizens group, to make sure that this might be something that they either want to keep or that they think it helps them with regards to getting people to complete the survey.
Okay. Yeah, you're correct about that.
Vivian, this is Jesse Dillon at CETA. One thing I did notice is there's, and forgive me if this is farther down in the document, but I don't see any of the priorities related to rail crossings, not improving the rail crossings, but improving roads as it relates to rail.
A grid separation.
Okay.
Yep. Is this what you're talking about?
Yeah, I could see that being one of the concerns from a community standpoint is some of the rail crossings and better alleviating those delays as it relates to, you know, I think of the President Street Bridge or, you know, certain areas where you hear about that quite a bit. So that was just my suggestion.
Yeah, so you're absolutely right.
Do you think that would help if we gave some examples? Because again, as I said, one of the things that we wanted to do is make sure we gave definitions. So, I mean, I agree with you. We probably could add some more language. We just want to make sure we define stuff so that people know what we're talking about.
Yeah, I think that one could be further.
Yeah. Open. So what about if all the separations are rail? Why don't the title has like rail grade separation?
That makes sense. Thank you.
Yeah, but I don't know that even, you know, the general, you know, folks might know what grade separation is. So the idea of, you know, improving, you know, you got roadway improvements above that, you know, railway crossing improvements or something like that, where it's like making railway crossing better. Because that's
what about rail grade separation improvements
or rail grade crossing?
Rail grade crossing
improvements,
And just add improvements to it so it's consistent with what's above it.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we can. That's simple enough. Yeah.
That will include separation.
Yes.
Okay. So just take out this. Okay. Where's the delete button? Okay. I'm gonna find the delete button in. Okay, it's here. So real great crossing investments. What else are we missing? What about like truck parking?
Yeah, I was thinking exactly that.
Yeah, truck parking maybe.
Can we move that up to better truck routing and signage and then underneath it put truck parking so that the truck stuff is grouped?
Okay.
There you go.
That's great input. I will add more information later.
Yeah.
And what other categories are we missing?
I think, you know, if everybody gets a chance to look at this and think about it a little bit, we can send you comments.
Okay. Yeah. We would definitely send you this survey, the draft survey questions. And if you think of anything else, just go ahead and let us know. Thank you.
Thank you, Waikota. So next up then is the status reports. So the freight transportation plan update.
Judy, why is that screen sharing has stopped as the shared window is closed? Can everybody see the screen for the presentation for the Quorum PO freight plan update?
Yes.
Okay, great. Thank you. And then Chris will be giving the presentation.
Okay, good morning, everyone. Very happy to be here to discuss the kickoff for the region's regional freight transportation plan update. I'm Chris Lindsay. I'm with Cambridge Systematics. I'm the project manager on the consultant side. We're joined at our team by Symbiosity. Denise is with us in person today, and also AECOM. And I believe that maybe a couple of our AECOM team members are on the Zoom call as well. We kicked off the freight plan about a month or so back, and we really just wanted to provide an update of kind of where we are and generally just provide kind of essentially the game plan for the freight plan and make sure that what we're envisioning is in line with what the EDFAT wants, and for you guys to just help provide us some overall guidance for developing something that is useful for the region. Okay, so our agenda for today, I'll give some introductions to the team members, provide an overview for the study, and then we're gonna discuss some things that I really want the EDFAT's kind of feedback on. We wanna understand what's changed since the last freight plan was completed, because we wanna make sure that those changes and all those important factors are reflected in this update. We're going to share with you the draft vision, goals, and objectives for the members that are in person. The sheet that I just handed out to you has those printed out, so you can read those in a little bit more detail. For those that are on the Zoom call, I would say that in your meeting invitation, there's a PDF copy of the presentation. Please keep that handy. We're going to refer back to it, and it will help for you to have that to provide some feedback on those vision goals and objectives. So if you haven't already, please pull up the PDF copy of the presentation. And also on the right-hand side of your screen there, we're going to be using Menti to help get some feedback on these. So if you have a spare tablet or phone, please at this time pull it up and go to the following website, www.menti.com, that's M-E-N-T-I.com, and use the code 7417-7315. And that will allow you to give us some feedback in real time, and we can see what everyone's thinking, and we'll just kind of help interactive, have an interactive presentation today. So please pull up that PDF copy online and also pull up the website. So really the purpose of today's meeting is to meet the team and provide an overview of the study. And we're going to finish up with some items that we think that the EdFac can help us with. We do want to acknowledge that there's also another study going on, the Coastal Empire study, that's looking at a lot of the same major impacts to the freight network that we're looking at in this study. We have a little bit more of an expanded scope when it comes to things like land use policies, programs that we'll be factoring in. But I do want to say that we are very much trying to coordinate closely with that study and making sure that we're mutually supporting each other. So as I mentioned earlier, the consultant team is myself, Cambridge Systematics, Mike Williamson, who's on the call today, will be the principal in charge for the study, make sure that everything is going according to plan and that we have the resources we need for it to be successful. Also, Symbiosity with Denise Grabowski, and also Carlos Espindola with AECOM. That's the team that is performing this study. And now we'll just kind of go into an overview. So the key technical tasks, of course, project management coordination, which includes stakeholder outreach, the needs assessment and analysis, looking at land use, economic development, environmental and community impacts, recommendations for future land uses, and just general recommendations as well. And we'll be wrapping everything up with a final report. And I will kind of walk through these in a little bit more detail. And I also want to encourage everyone, if you have any thoughts or questions as you're seeing this information, please feel free to interrupt and chime in. We really want this to be participatory. So regarding the stakeholder outreach, some of this, the development of the tools that we'll be using has kind of started, and we're going to get those draft versions and make sure that they go out to the team for everyone to review. But essentially, the stakeholder outreach will include meetings like this with the EdFac. Also virtual forums where a broader stakeholder community will be invited in and to participate. A dedicated page on the MPO website, providing information about the plan, where it stands, all the information we've collected to date, and also direct outreach to key stakeholders. So that includes the Port Authority, major rail carriers like CSX and Norfolk Southern, and others as the EdFac deems appropriate. So one of the early questions that I want to ask, and I'll pause for a second here, is who else should we be speaking to? Are there any other private organizations, public agencies that perhaps you think that it's really important for us to get their feedback on the development of this plan, and perhaps that you wanted to include a little bit more of these activities?
Well, I did think about that just a little bit, and I don't really know, but it might be worth talking to like Fort Stewart or Hunter Army Airfield or the 165th Air National Guard, all our military bases in the area, just because, you know, they don't, on an everyday basis, they might not use a lot of trucks, but, you know, when they need to mobilize. So I know they probably have an interest.
Yeah. Okay, that's a great suggestion. And honestly, military and their freight needs has been a greater area of emphasis at the federal level for doing freight planning. So that's a really good suggestion.
One of the things I want to find out, and I wish we had a little bit more of a blow up of this, but since, you know, equity and inclusion is really important, I think that one thing that I see is missing is that that's not part of what you've got from the standpoint of stakeholder outreach. A lot of rail goes through a lot of low wealth communities. And I think that at a minimum, there should be a few meetings to at least let them know what is being proposed and give them the opportunity to give some feedback.
Okay, that's a great suggestion. And one of our tasks does focus a little bit more explicitly on equity, but I think that you raised a good point that in the context of this outreach, making sure that we have a specific equity component for those communities that are really proximate to the freight access. And
right. There's, in fact, if you did a study on where they're located, most of them are in those communities. So one of the things I saw that was missing is there really should be one of the lines that at least point to that piece of it, since, as we all know, the feds are really high on making sure that they're looking at equity with regards to transportation as well.
Exactly.
I had to use this speakerphone so everybody can hear me. I think school board and the universities, because they order a lot of supplies.
Well, and I had a question about that. I know, you know, obviously the port is the major, right, freight supplier or whatever, but what about some of the smaller firms? Do you have, I mean, I know you may not want to, you know, have a meeting with each one individually, but is there a way to maybe just provide, like, if I have contact information, just to send them like a notice that, you know, that there's a survey or something? How do you want to include like the smaller businesses? Like, I'm thinking of specifically like maybe possibly International Paper, Gulfstream, Standard Concrete Products, some of those kind of companies that we know have trucking in issues. Or...
Right. Sure. I'm sorry, and Denise wants to
yeah.
go ahead. I should mention that Denise is our yeah, stakeholder outreach.
And while Denise is coming up, I was going to say one of the things you might want to do to Pam's point is maybe send it to the city managers that are in areas where they have a lot of freight, like Garden City, Port Wentworth, I mean, those areas, and ask them who is missing or who should get a copy of this survey. The other thing is, we got to have some way of meeting with people in person because not everybody has technology or understands it. So there's going to have to be some in-person meetings with some of the people in the community. You just can't kind of do everything virtual. Yeah. And there needs to be, in this case, because this is a little different with freight, you know, a little bit of an education piece of saying, you know, this is what this is and this is what this will do and, you know, et cetera, because you know, that's going to be something that's important to them. So just remember about that as well.
Absolutely. I certainly agree with those comments. And I think one of the roles, you know, this committee is going to be really important. You represent so many of these stakeholders that we're talking about. So, you know, it's great that Jared's able to be with us here today from the chamber, because having those relationships and, you know, you will provide guidance throughout this process, but we would also like to consider you ambassadors and helping us and get information out and making sure that we're getting information out to the right people and helping us to make those connections. So I think that's one of the critical roles that this committee can play as we move throughout. Thank you.
Oh, thank you. And I would completely echo that. So, I mean, really, we'll be looking to the committee members to help us to make some of those contacts, especially for those smaller shippers that are in the area, and also for those communities that are heavily impacted by freight movements. So a lot of these tools that we have, like, you know, interactive mapping, that's a survey that can go out, you know, to everyone. And we would just kind of need the information to make sure that we're sending it to the right folks and that we aren't leaving any people off. But I would echo that we really be looking to you guys to help us make those contacts.
And one last thing, just because I know, you know, Bryan County and Effingham, at least at this point, have very small portions within our MPO boundaries. That is going to expand, as we know, about probably by the end of the year. So it's very easy to forget them. But I think that we need to make sure that they are notified as well, especially Bryan County, with the fact that they've got this huge industrial park that everybody kind of knows about, and a little thing called Key is coming. So I think that it's going to be really important to make sure that we involve them in this process, actively engage them to participate as well.
Exactly. And I should mention that our study area for this plan does include all of Bryan and Effingham counties as well.
This is Jesse Dillon from CETA, but I know Brant's on here as well from Effingham County. As the four county JDA that was part of the Hyundai Motor Group announcement in Bryan County, I'm certain that we could come together and provide a fairly robust list of folks that should be getting this survey and push it into, you know, from our organizations as well. So I'm volunteering Brant and myself. You're welcome,
yes,
Brant.
You're well. Thanks, Jesse. And you're exactly right, Jesse. This is now that with the Hyundai announcement, you got to take a look at the bigger picture. And so, yeah, I'm more than happy to work with Jesse and with Anna or Justin over in Bryan County to make sure the right people do get the survey. I completely agree, Jesse.
All right. That's awesome. That's exactly what we need and we're hoping to get from you guys today. So thank you.
Since our study area is three county, and then we have SEMA, Dennis Jones, Askery representing SEMA, and part of our emphasis is build freight resiliency. So during hurricane evacuation, all that kind of stuff. So who should we contact for Effingham and Bryan County regarding environmental?
Are you talking about the emergency management agencies?
Yes.
Yeah, I can get that contact, those contacts.
Okay, that would be great. Thank you.
Just to clarify, so the plan is you're going to send us the survey, and then we're going to forward it out to all these other stakeholders that we know of. Is that correct?
That is correct. So there are a few different parts of stakeholder outreach that will kind of go out in a more online fashion. So one is a stakeholder survey. So once that's fully developed, we will send that to you guys because we want you to take it. But we'll also ask that contacts that you have at the various counties and the private sector that you think that is really important that they take it as well. We'll ask for you to either give us that information and we can send it or we can even draft like essentially a draft email that you can just send it out to those groups and provide them with that information as well. And also I would say in the sense of virtual forums, so similar today, how we have this, at least online component that's focused on the EdFat, we want to have other online forums that focus on a broader stakeholder community so they can receive invitations to come to those as well, where we will present a lot more information on what the freight system looks like and what we think those needs are, and really ask them to validate those findings to make sure that what we see in the data is consistent with what they experience on the ground and what the data suggests some of the needs and investment priorities should be, that's consistent with their reality as well. Okay, so kind of moving through these kind of core technical tasks. So stakeholder outreach is an important one and it goes throughout the entire study. The next major task is the freight needs assessment and analysis. There are 8 specific subtasks that comprise this one. And really the entire purpose of this task is to characterize the existing conditions and performance of the freight multimodal network and to understand how that might evolve over the long term in terms of growth. So we'll be looking at commodity flow data, truck volume data. We'll be developing performance measures that the regions can track so you can understand how those investments are paying off over the long term. And we'll talk about that a little bit more later in the presentation with those handouts that I just gave you, and as well as the PDF copies. We're going to be asking for feedback on, you know, does that vision, do those goals, do those objectives, which in turn inform those performance measures, do they look right? Are they consistent? we'll be looking at growth. GDOT has shared a lot of data with us already and is continually to supply us with data as well on commodity flows and what the future of freight growth looks like in the region. So all of that information will go into this task so we can come up with a pretty comprehensive list of what we think the region's needs are from an infrastructure perspective, from a land use perspective, also policies and programs. So land use assessment analysis, this one focuses in on the core NPO planning area, but again, as we said, we're looking at the broader three county area, looking at Bryan, Effingham as well. So with this, we're collecting already a lot of land use data on what current zoning is, on what future land use might look like in the region. And really the purpose of this is to kind of assess the impact of land use on freight and also assess the impact of freight on land use decisions. And we're really going to use that as a basis for some more specific land use recommendations. So with this one, we're already being reached out to GDOT and various counties as well to get that land use data from them. And the type of information we'll be also asking of the EDFAT is maybe there's some information that's not in the data already. Maybe there's some information that's not in a specific land use file, such as a pending development, maybe something that doesn't reach the level of a development or regional impact, but still something that's important to consider. That's the type of information that we'll be hoping to get from you guys, and also these online surveys and virtual forums that essentially stakeholders telling us what we need to be aware of that might not be present in the data.
Just one thing, especially for this land use assessment, have you all looked at the comprehensive plans that people have, there's like a number of people had to complete them and they all have land use components in there. We're in the process of updating and doing additional work on Chatham County and Savannah's, but you know, that's a good start with regards to doing that. But you know, there are a lot of zoning cases that everybody's had that was not included in that land use study. So are you all getting that information or do you expect us to pull that data?
So we're collecting the comprehensive plans, we're pulling those up and reviewing those plans and gleaning all the information that we can out of them to support this component as well as other tasks. And we're also requesting the GIS files that contain existing zoning as well as future land uses for those counties and municipalities that have them. And so what we're essentially doing is pulling all that information together. And what we'll be asking is to make sure that if there's anything that's missing, that you all can kind of point us in the right direction, that this is something that wasn't included that you guys should be aware of.
Well, one question that you might want to ask for some of the smaller communities is, do they have it in a GIS format? I mean, there's kind of a lot of assumptions that just because they've got the zoning done that it's mapped. And one of the things I found is that's not always the case. Mm-hmm. So that might be something as you're talking or working with some of the other folks in this process that you ask. And if they don't have it, then they're going to need a little bit of leeway time to put it together if you expect them to have that data.
Right, exactly. And we understand some smaller communities might not have it. And essentially, I mean, with this, I think that we'll be able to get enough information to have a pretty informed view of what land use currently looks like in the region and how that's evolving over the future. But we do understand that there might be some gaps in the data, especially for the smaller communities.
Okay, I'm just suggesting because they're the ones that are getting the most industrial warehouse type development that would be impacted by this freight study. So I think that their piece is probably more important in some respects than some of the larger jurisdictions because they are steady zoning and changing land use.
Where are you talking about specifically?
One place just specifically that comes to mind is Bloomingdale. For example, I mean, it's unbelievable how much activity that they've had just in the past year.
So you're talking about the smaller jurisdictions?
That's what I'm saying. The smaller jurisdictions are the ones that really have the most intense land uses that would be really important to this because it's, you know, centered around freight and that logistics piece.
Port Wentworth too.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I was going to say that one too, but yeah, those are the two communities that came to my mind. And they're also the two communities that don't have that much support, which is why I raised this question about timing of trying to get this information, because there needs to be enough lead time so that you have everything that you need so that we have a report that's kind of correct or adequate. So that's why I raise it.
Of the smaller jurisdictions.
Mycota said that CRC might have some information.
That's great. I'm just saying that's one of the things, since you're getting feedback of what we need to look at, that needs to happen, and CRC might have it, but if they do, they might not have updated it. And that's the issue. Has it been updated to reflect what you need based on past 6 months of zoning and rezonings or the past year? So I don't know how often, but it's a question that we all have to figure out when those changes are made. I just know that there's a tremendous amount of activity in Garden City and in Port Wentworth. And in Bloomingdale, that centers around warehousing. They've got a lot of rail that goes through those communities. And, you know, we can check in with regards to, as the team, making sure that that information is mapped or in the proper format so that it can be helpful and as a part of the study.
Okay. And that's a really good point. So I'm glad that you brought that up, that to know that focusing in on some of those smaller communities is going to be really important for this specific component of the freight plan to be successful.
Actually, since the CEDA chamber all here and Effingham IDA here as well, I think they might have, do you have some GIS files that you can share with us? I mean, like future freight development?
We don't at the chamber, but Jesse might.
Yeah, we certainly, we use GeoThing GIS as well as SAGES for a lot of our mapping, but we probably have some additional files that we've done with our partners at TNH as far as mapping future industrial usage out in that corridor, specifically around what's happening in Bloomingdale, kind of as it connects to Jimmy DeLoach. And you know, this map that I'm looking at right now has the Savannah Chatham Manufacturing Center, but it doesn't show, there's some gaps there that we could help fill in. I'm happy to send that.
Okay, great.
All right, yep, thank you. I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, from Effingham's point of view, I'll echo Jesse's comments. We use GeoThing too, and so you're right, there's some gaps here, and I'll be more than happy to help fill in those gaps.
If you could send some of that information to us so that we have everything in one file, then we can look at it and make sure that everything is up to speed and matching up in SAGES so that everybody's stuff is in the same format.
What format do you want that in? In a CAD file?
A shape file.
Probably. I would think it's probably a shape file. I'm not shape sure file. What, but I'm just saying that we need to, everybody's stuff at least needs to be in a similar format so that, and we need to get that information because I looked over stuff a couple of days ago and we didn't have all of the information from the jurisdictions because we don't always get it in a timely manner. And, you know, this is an investment for the region, so I want to make sure we've got the most accurate information out there.
Okay, so moving through the technical tasks, economic development and market assessment, this will be looking at information on employment and economic output for the region's freight intensive industries. And we'll also be looking at just essentially key economic trends that impact freight and try to understand their implications for the region. So federal trade policies, e-commerce, supply chains disruptions, essentially just those kind of broader macroeconomic trends or supply chain trends that might have an impact on the region. We want to account for that in this task as well. And a key task that we discussed a little bit earlier is doing the impact of environmental and really equity impacts. So with this task, we really want to characterize the impact of goods movement on the community. So examples might be understanding if there is a concentration of grade crossings in the area, or if there's a concentration of grade crossings that don't have as many safety warning devices, is understanding where freight might have disproportionate impacts on the environment and the community. And that will really help the region to come up with strategies to either prevent, where possible, those impacts or to mitigate them after the fact. So that's going to really be a key component of this. We're going to be using the most recent census data to identify some of the areas that we want to focus on from an environmental justice perspective, but that's going to be a key kind of critical component of this task. And then recommendations. So we really want a comprehensive set of recommendations. So not just infrastructure in the sense of where we think certain roadway or rail or other kind of network improvements need to be made, but we do want that to be included as well. But we also want to make sure that we're looking at different policy or programmatic recommendations that can be beneficial to the region. Also looking at where land use recommendations can be beneficial to the region. So we really want this to be comprehensive, to encompass all aspects of the freight system. So not just those infrastructure improvements, but really everything that can have a positive impact or alleviate or negative impacts where they exist. And then we will wrap all of that up in a final report. So it's going to do the basics. We're going to, you know, say how these strategies were developed, evaluated, prioritized. We're going to make sure that everything can be incorporated into the MTP as well as the Transportation Improvement Program. But really, we view this final report as really being a strategic blueprint for the region. How do we advance our freight network? How do we make sure that those impacts are lessened on our communities? How can we use it to continue to have the economic development success that the region has already had? And so that really kind of guiding vision is what we're going to be looking to the EDFAC for, and for other members, is to make sure that it's not just a plan that sits on the shelf. We really want it to be a blueprint that gets implemented and executed throughout the region. Okay, so that was the first part of the presentation, just walking through those technical tasks. I feel like we've already gotten such great feedback from everybody that's here in person and also online, but we want to get a little bit more information from you guys. So there have been a lot of big changes since the last freight plan was conducted. There have been a lot of infrastructure investments that have been completed or are planned, the Harbor Expansion Project, Mason Mega Rail Yard, a lot of the GDOT MMIP projects that have been implemented or currently being implemented in the region. A lot of changes with land use and development, not just the development of the megasite in Bryan County, but smaller but still very substantial developments that have occurred since then. It's been a lot of change at the federal level as well with the Infrastructure Investment and Jobs Act, with a lot of discretionary grant funding that has been a part of that legislation, as well as other planning focus areas for freight planning. And you guys have done a lot of planning at the regional level on your network. So recently completed studies for State Route 21 and State Route 307. Those are some very important freight corridors serving the port. GDOT is currently updating the state freight plan, has recently completed an update of the state rail plan, and ongoing studies like the Coastal Empire Study, Effingham County Transportation Master Plan. It's a lot that's changed. So we want to make sure that we are acknowledging that, and we include that in this plan to make sure that it's essentially it's more useful. So remember, I asked you all to kind of have a tablet or another device handy, especially if you're online. On the screen now, there is a question in Mentimeter. So again, if you go to www.menti.com and you type in the code 74177315, you should see a question on your screen. And that is, what else has changed since the last plan was completed? What other trends or factors should we be aware of? I will stop talking for a few seconds here and ask you all to enter your responses so we can record them and make sure that we include this in there.
Well, while they're doing that, typing in, since I'm here in person, I'm going to go ahead and make a verbal if that's okay. I'm just thinking out loud, but I'm just wondering, there's a lot of big GDOT projects that are either underway or that are planned in this area. And a lot of it does have to do with, freight. So I've noticed that when we have these large projects, just like the I-16 project we've got going on right now, that a lot of traffic shifts, right? Because they're trying to avoid the construction. So then they find alternate paths, right? So then some of these other secondary roads get somewhat overwhelmed, if you will, while the construction is taking place. So, but then hopefully then the next project comes along and then traffic shifts again. And I just kind of curious, if anybody's really looked at like what projects, what the timing, and obviously we don't know for sure, but what the timing of these different projects is and where traffic's going to get pushed to, And that would maybe be a whole different study. I don't know.
That would probably be a pretty big effort just on its own to understand the traffic impacts of work zones. So I would say probably not something we specifically focus on as part of this, but that would be interesting and useful information to know what happens on those roadways and to understand if any of those changes are maybe a little bit more long lasting, someone finds a route that they stick with. For this one, I don't think we're specifically
a little bit outside the scope. Okay, thank you.
All right, somebody just stole mine. I was going to say the Talmadge Bridge replacement also needs to be something we should be aware of, but they already put it up there, so thanks.
I'm sorry, what'd you say, Wakanda? Talmadge Bridge. Talmadge Bridge. President Street Overpass.
Yeah, and US 80 corridor study.
Okay, thank you, Wakanda.
Okay, any more responses online? I came up with these slides because I wanted to be interactive, but this group is not shy about talking, so that's even better.
Melanie, do you think we should put anything in there concerning T-SPLOST? I don't know if that would be, if that happens, that's a what if, but yeah. Sorry to put you on the spot, but.
I think we can do pretty good, Alex.
Okay, I have three responses online. I think that everyone who wants to contribute has, so I'm going to just keep on moving to the next one. So the 2016 plan, it really laid the foundation for freight planning in the region. It provided a lot of detailed recommendations as far as infrastructure and as land use as well. And so as we start to update this plan, we really want to make sure that we build on that effort and we enhance it. And so some things that we start to think about with looking at the 2016 plan versus what we're trying to do with this effort is maybe a little bit more focused on implementation strategies, kind of the step-by-step actions that the region can be taking to really implement and execute this plan, focusing on where there are funding opportunities and identifying projects that might be competitive for competitive grant applications, and also a greater focus on truck parking. And as was mentioned earlier, making sure that we look at military freight needs as well, since that's important for a region. And there has been a lot more emphasis on that at the federal level as well. So those are some things that we think can be really opportunities to kind of enhance the plan and take advantage of new opportunities. So another question that I wanted to ask are, what are the key differentiators for this plan? What would you like to see differently this time than we saw before? And related to that, how would you define success for this plan? What would be a win? What would you see out of this to get the impression that this is really something that's useful to us and helps to advance the region? So again, those are in person, you can feel free to just speak up. If you're online, we have Menti up, you can enter it in there, or just come off of mute and let us know.
Well, I would like to say that, this is Melanie, that one of the things I think would be helpful would be to have multiple partners with regards to implementing this plan. I think that, you know, public-private partnerships are becoming more pervasive, especially now, in that, you know, as we're dealing with this, maybe have stuff grouped a little bit cleaner where, you know, 5 years, so that you've got something that's really focused that you know you can get done with the partners that you need to have at the table, so that people don't have to go around trying to figure out who should be there, whether it's truck parking. Well, who should be at the table to deal with truck parking that's within the region, and what types of things would be needed in order to move that forward? You know, is there changes that would be needed in public policy to support doing that? So I think that having kind of group partners with a little bit more defined timelines with benefits of, if this happens, this is the benefit from doing that, would be helpful.
So really, with kind of, so for any recommendation that comes out of this, you would like to see just not only just kind of detailed information on what's in that recommendation, but make sure we identify who should be the lead partner on this, who should be supporting partners on this, make sure that we identify those stakeholders that are really needed to actually
bring it to fruition. Otherwise, it's just another plan with great recommendations, but no focused way to move forward to truly get it implemented in a timely fashion. So some things are going to be low-hanging fruit that you can get done pretty quickly. Some things will take a little bit more time. So if it can be grouped where you, in 5 years you can get this done, I mean, realistically, and in 10 years we know that these things would be done and they could still be part of it. But I think that's how, this is my opinion, that's how I see things moving forward with regards to seriously getting implemented, especially because there's a limited amount of time in some cases to get funding to do some of this work. So it needs to be kind of set up to look at what's out there now, what's out there that we can do, who are the partners, private side, public side, that need to be at the table to make it happen.
Well, from a transportation perspective, what would be helpful to me would be if you could identify some specific projects that are needed, either certain roads or, you know, corridors that are, you know, seeing a lot of in development or even just operational improvements that might be needed.
Mm-hmm. And you know, and to that point, I want to kind of point out, earlier we discussed that GDOT also has a Coastal Empire study that's going on. And I know that they're going to be making some recommendations as part of that. So we have been trying to make sure that we coordinate with them. So some of those things that they identify, we want to make sure that we draw in and make sure that we kind of draw those in and include those in ours as well, especially from just kind of the transportation projects that come out of that effort.
Thank you.
Okay, and I see for this one a little bit more focus on funds. So definitely we will have a discussion of funding options that are available. Just essentially what's out there at the federal, at the state level, as well as different local funds that can maybe be tapped to support freight projects. So we'll be sure to include a discussion of that in there. And as part of that list of recommendations and that implementation plan, we're going to point to those funding options that are relevant. Okay, so with this part, we want to focus on our draft vision, goals, and objectives. So for this, we really want to make sure that the draft versions of these are consistent with and reflect what's in the region's current long-range plan. We understand that that's being updated right now. And so we'll make sure that everything gets revised to be consistent with that as well. But really the goal that we're going for is to make sure that the freight vision, the freight goals and objectives have that specific focus on the freight network, but are also supportive of what the region is doing at a broader level. So for the folks that are here in person with the handouts that you have, you can take a look at those in a little bit more detail. On this slide, we have the region's overall vision as articulated in Mobility 2045. And below that, we have what is our draft vision for the freight system. And so the vision is for the regional freight transportation plan is to promote sustainable economic growth throughout the region by ensuring quality access and connectivity and safe and efficient mobility of people and goods on a shared multimodal network. And so with this draft vision statement, we think that it's consistent with the shared aspect of the region's broader statement that is a shared network. And we want to make sure that freight's impacts are limited and that impacts to freight are also limited. And we also want to include sustainability to make sure that that growth reflects the region's values and needs as it is articulated in the broader vision. So at this point, I'd like to ask just to take a little bit of time to read that statement and to give us some feedback. Does it capture the right components for the region's freight vision? What's missing from that statement? And for those of you who are online, if you could, there is a PDF copy of the presentation that was included in the meeting invite. You can pull that up to have a broader, a deeper look at that vision statement. Please look at that and give us some feedback. And I'll pause here for a second to see if we get anything online through Menti. Folks that are here in person, please let us know what you think.
I would just add equity. I mean, it's kind of like, as you know, it's like in everything that is coming out of the DOT. So yes.
Would that be better in the goals?
The resiliency probably would be better in goals, the equity kind of in the vision, but you know, it can be put wherever you can tweak it a little bit, but those are two things that, especially equity is really big, but resiliency is important too in light of what's going on.
Okay, so I'm hearing equity, resiliency, a greater focus on safety as well. Any comments from anyone online? Okay, we can move on. Here we have the draft freight goals. So for safety and security, provide a safe, secure, and resilient multimodal freight system. State of good repair, maintaining the state of good repair, maintaining the freight system at acceptable levels. Goals related to accessibility, mobility, and connectivity, really improving the connectivity of the regional freight and industrial hubs, connectivity between those modes and reduce barriers to mobility. system performance, which is focused on improving the reliability of freight movements and improving efficiency. Intergovernmental coordination, building regional and statewide freight partnerships, and environment and quality of life. And that's really focused on minimizing the adverse impacts of freight operations on communities and the environment, and increasing the community's awareness of freight's importance. These are our draft goals. If you have some comments at this time on those goals, as you look at it through the PDF and the handouts, you can give them to us now. So if you need a little bit more time with it, we understand, and you can always feel free to email those in to us or provide feedback at a later time. But I'll pause for a moment here as folks read through it. And just in case you have anything you want to enter online through Menti or just would like to express verbally here today.
I think it looks good. Of course, I guess equity, but that, and she already mentioned that one. So,
yeah. Right. And again, like if you, as you read through it at a later date, you see anything that you want added or you have any further thoughts on it, these are draft at this point, but we just want to put it before the EdFat so you guys have an opportunity to review it and make sure that we're headed in the right direction. So I will move on. Here as well, focusing in, earlier we had the goals, now we have the objectives, focusing in on the specifics of what we're looking to achieve with these goals. And these objectives are really what the draft performance measures stem from. So again, goals across those six goal areas, the safety and security, state of good repair, accessibility, mobility and connectivity, system performance, intergovernmental coordination, and environment and quality of life. Just in examples of some of these objectives, maintaining the freight assets at acceptable conditions, facilitating partnerships between the core MPO, GDOT, GPA, and city and county governments, reducing the number and rate of fatalities and injuries involving freight movements, also on the safety side, improving access to truck parking. So these are our draft objectives. Take some time to read through them and let us know if you have any comments on them. Again, I'll pause for a second in case there are any that come in online or here in person. Any comments from the okay? Any comments from the online group? All right, we can move into the last part of our presentation for today. So schedule and next steps. So essentially at this point, we've started kind of some of the project management and stakeholder outreach tasks with starting to develop kind of draft documents of what those stakeholder survey will be, as well as thinking about timelines for doing virtual forums. For the more technical tasks as part of two, we really started looking at the existing future freight goods movement assessment. So that includes looking at, again, like truck volume data. We have information from NRICS, from TransSearch on commodity flows that GDOT has shared with us. We're developing that information at this time. And also freight performance measures. A lot of this information that you see now on vision, goals, and objectives, that's directly feeding into what those draft freight performance measures. And we'll share those and make sure that those are the right ones for the region to be tracking across this freight program.
Can I ask a question?
Yes.
Just I'm going back just briefly to your objectives. Or the coordination, and I'm not 100% sure right now because this is just the first time I'm looking at it, but we really do need to have some language where we're talking about our freight partners, whether it's, you know, CSX and kind of where they fit in with this, because regardless, they are our partners. And it would be good to kind of mention them as that. I know we have, like, we talk about the ports and we're talking about, you know, as far as intergovernmental coordination, but we still have to deal with them. So why not include them as, you know, it could be another bullet, but to deal with the railroads. And then under the environmental and quality of life, again, you know, I'm going to tell you to deal with equity. But the other thing too is that you need to probably have, whether it's there or someplace else, a separate one to really start talking about resiliency, because, you know, a lot of things can impact, especially with climate change, our rail systems. So that's really important to have some serious discussion about as we're doing this update. I mean, it might need to be a separate objective by itself. Not sure, but it needs to come out.
All right, thank you for that feedback. And we'll make sure that we revise these and send out, you know, that revision so we can get the group's feedback on that and until we get at something that is just right. So our key next steps, online survey, we're targeting to early July to have that together. So again, that survey, we will send it to EDFAT members, ask you guys to complete it, to get your feedback, but also to forward it out to your networks as well, whether that be kind of a draft email that we supply you guys that you can send it or just send it on your own. But we'll be asking your help with that. Probably sometime in November, doing a virtual forum where we can provide more information on kind of the analysis that we have at that point with really seeing what existing conditions and performance looks like. Our next steps, also the freight needs assessment network is underway now, specifically for the goods movement, commodity flow analysis component of it, freight performance measures and forecasting future growth. That work is currently underway. We should be back here in October to provide you guys with another update. And that will include a lot more of that information, that data analysis that we've been working on. And we'll have some information to share with you all so you can validate it, make sure that what we're seeing in the data is consistent with reality, and to make sure that our next steps are in line with expectations. And throughout this process, as we kind of come up with needs either for data or information or maybe a particular contact with stakeholders, we'll be sure to reach out to the committee to ask for your assistance with that and just overall guidance. So that is all that I have today. My contact information is here. Feel free to email me as well as, and we will kind of address any comments and concerns that you've had based off of information you've gotten today, or just generally get information about the status and how things are going with the freight plan. So that's it. Thank you all.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that. All right, moving on then with our agenda. Do we have any information reports that need to, we've got informational reports on here, but I'm not sure.
The informational reports, we try not to include the on the ADFAC committee meeting because we want this one to be focused on this freight plan update.
Okay, I'm just checking in. It's just on the agenda. So I was just kind of going through. Do we have anyone that wants to give a public comment at this time? Is anybody here for that? Do we have anybody online from the public? Anyone that wants to make a comment? Okay, just checking. And the notices, then the next EDFAC meeting is scheduled for August 18th. Is that correct?
Yeah, I think we might need to change that to October, because October we have a, like a major update from the free plan. Uh-huh. So we might skip October meeting. I mean, if we don't have anything to present at that time. So
would you want to leave it for now, or do we want to just change it, say October?
I think we'll probably need to change it to October.
Okay. Do you happen to know what day that's going to be?
It will be the same day as
The TCC?
TCC, yeah. So let me just check the meeting.
So the next EDVAC committee meeting will be in October. Not sure exactly what day. Let's see.
It would be October the 20th.
October 20th.
October the 20th, yes.
Okay. 2022 at 10 a.m.
Yes, 10 a.m. Yes.
Okay. And with that, if there's nothing else, this meeting is adjourned.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.